Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is great to be with you this morning. We are so thrilled and privileged to have the Vosters with us. We're really close today. We really pushed these chairs together, so that'll be fun. I know. It's like I'm used to a little space. But it was funny as we were singing today, the Vosters came up and sat right in that second row, and it reminded me of the time when they were here with us regularly before they moved to Cambodia, that they used to sit in the second row all the time. And I'm sure their children loved that, but it was just great having them here, and they set a good example. I really always appreciate that. So they come and they're right behind me. I can sense them right while I was singing. I was like, the Vosters are back. So that was great. So we're just thrilled you're here. And we know you've got a really busy summer, and you've got a lot going on, and there's a lot of things you're doing, and so we are grateful for the time that you're going to spend here with us now and afterwards, again, over at Fraser Hall. We really encourage you to get done here at the service and then zip right on over to Fraser Hall and just spend some time with the Vosters, get some lunch. That'd be really great. But what we're going to do here today, we're going to run through some questions and give them a chance to share what God is doing in their lives and in their ministry. So let's start with, can you let people know how you are connected to Warrington Fellowship Church?
So the connection back with Warrington Fellowship goes back just about, maybe even a little over 20 years at this point.
It is.
So, and we didn't always sit in the front, so we did start in the middle, but it was one Sunday. I think it may have been like a camping weekend or something. There was something going on, and it was like really spread out. So Bob was like, all right, to start the service this morning, we're all going to stand up, and now everybody move forward. And it was really from that moment that why don't we just sit in the front to begin with? So that's how it ended up that way. But yeah, when I think back of our time, even the first time I came to Warrington, I think it was really the first time I heard the gospel. So hearing that Christ died for our sins and paved the way for us to be able to have that eternal relationship and connection with him. I heard it before, but it never really happened until I walked in these doors. And that was something that was different at this church. And that's what really set and solidified us and that kind of significance on the gospel and how I would hear it preached week after week after week. That's what drew me close. That and small groups. If you're not in a small group, you got to get in one. But those are the things that really, when I think back about our connection to Warrington, that's why we were able to grow in our faith. And then to actually be sent by this church out to Asia. Amen. And yeah, I look at the opportunities that we've had, and it's been such a blessing. So thank you for being our sending church, and thank you for the connection that we've had so far. I'm not sure if anyone else knows this, but we also meet with Pastor Bob every month. We get on a video call, and he's been one of our prayer warriors. So I know we've got other prayer warriors that are here in the pews with us as well, but we feel so loved and supported by the church. So even though we're far away in a place that has very little personal space,
that's true.
We feel your presence, just like you were saying you felt it from us. We do feel that, because that's what sustains us on the field, is that prayer support. Financial support is great too, but that prayer support, I think, is really what keeps us there.
Amen.
Yeah, that's when the Schumanns just came and visited us recently. So we went on a hike. That's actually a waterfall behind us, but it's dry because it was dry season. But that's a good time to visit because it's not so hot.
Yeah.
So that was a chance for us to be able to get together. And then Joel Stewart, which is the other missionary sent here in Cambodia, sent from Warrington in Cambodia. I'm still jet lagging a little bit, I guess. But yeah, the chance to get together and spend some time while the Schumanns came out, I think it was God's provision and timing. I'll let Alicia share a little bit further on just why that timing was so sweet. But any time that you'd be able to sit and to share and kind of spend that time together, and even with Joel as well, I think it was really, really neat. So we've appreciated that.
And so what brings you back to the States? And give us an update of how your family's doing and all that. They're here today.
So we are
look at those little
back
things.
For two reasons. This is not a home assignment year for us. That'll be next year. But we came back to visit Mason. Mason graduated 2 years ago from high school and lives in Wisconsin. And then Cameron is a rising senior, so we're here to look at universities for him. So we're in the States for a couple of weeks. This is actually a picture from when we left. and began our missionary journey. So we've been on the field about 8, 9 years at this point, nine, almost 10. And they're now full-grown young men. So our time here is really special to spend time with them and connect, because Cameron hadn't seen Mason in a year and a half, and we hadn't seen him in a year. So it's part of the, I guess, the cost or the sacrifice to serving, but he's doing awesome, and you could be praying for him as he's in Wisconsin working, and for Cameron as he tries to figure out what God has next for him from a university perspective and after graduation. So that's why we're here, and we're just grateful we could come and share a little bit with you guys while we're on that whirlwind tour over the next couple of weeks.
You can pray for us as well, because once Cameron graduates, we'll be empty nesting like fully at that point. So pray for Alicia's mama's heart.
Yeah, that's harder than it seems, huh?
I'm a pre-griever on things, so I've already started to like get emotional about it being his senior year. So I'm really good at that.
So can you share what your ministry roles are in Cambodia, so people understand what you guys do out there and how God's using you and all that stuff?
So I guess I have the privilege of being the field director for World Team Cambodia. So within World Team Cambodia, we've got about 30 missionaries that are serving inside of Cambodia. I look at it really as like three separate fields, because we work with three separate different individual groups. There's the Vietnamese, there's the Cham, which is a Muslim people group, and then there's the Khmer. So inside of those, we've got different groups of missionaries that are working with each one of those individuals. I think we have a photo, yeah. So up there is the annual field conference photo. So that's the group of everybody together. A few folks are on home assignment, so that's not absolutely everybody, but that's the field that I guess I have the privilege of working alongside and helping them to understand where God is leading them. And encouraging them really to say, all right, this is the direction we want to be going. So that's something that is, it wasn't, I guess, in our sights when we first started, but the field has clearly said, yeah, we want you to do this role. And I've seen God's blessing and his hand in it as we've had to work with various government ministries and kind of establishing various processes and things and procedures and stuff. You guys prepared us well, or our jobs as well, before we came to the mission field. Gave us a little bit of an opportunity to overlap some of those skills. And then we also started a university dorm in Phnom Penh, and Alicia has the honor of overseeing that. So there's the team with the dorm is there, and all the black shirts. So she's overseeing the Phnom Penh University dorm. And I'll let you share a little bit more about that, too.
Yeah, so the video was our video from last year. It just kind of highlights where the students are growing. And at the time that we did that video, we were just shifting from it being a ministry that Tom and I were overseeing, because he was stepping into the field director role. And God just provided a team around us. So over the last year, we've added the missionary couple, Peter and Amber Norris, and then we hired another Cambodian national. So we have a team of eight. Who's not pictured in there is Lon's wife, Janta, who works with us on a part-time basis. So we have a pretty large, fun team overseeing the ministry, and we'll share more about that as we go forward.
Yeah. So what are some highlights from the last year, and what has been most challenging?
Yeah, so I'll start with the challenging part. But also how we've just seen God's provision in that. This is a picture of three interns that came to visit us in Cambodia. They're from Canada, and their advisor, Charles, who's on the far right in the picture, came with them. He had been a missionary in Kenya and Mongolia for 15 years, and was now working with this school to be the advisor for the interns as they traveled and did a three-week internship. Several days before they were meant to leave, Charles was hit by a moto in Cambodia and needed life-saving surgery in Phnom Penh. It was a really difficult time, and there were multiple layers to, one, the immediate crisis of caring for him physically. He was in a medically induced coma for a week. We were waiting for his family to arrive, and just handling all of that communication with the school, with his organization, with our organization, and that was Tom's role as field director to manage that from a crisis perspective. He was hit right outside of the neighborhood where the dorm students live, and so our leaders and a few of the dorm students actually saw him immediately after the accident and how bad of a condition he was in. So there was a significant amount of trauma across our staff as well as the students. And so that happened at the very end of January, and Bob and Kathy showed up. Like 2 weeks after that. And you just saw God's provision in providing the people that we needed as we were serving all of those that were looking to us for wisdom and guidance. We were very blessed to have a counseling organization in Cambodia that's Christian, and they provided some trauma debrief.
And they were able to give us the chance to walk through some of the things that had been there, some of the stuff that's still pretty fresh. We had the opportunity to be able to walk alongside the various people and even the students that were there, the stories that they had. They were like, oh, when my uncle or when my aunt had this accident, here's how this happened or how it played out. The person passed away in every single example of what those students had gone through and what they've shared. So it gave us a chance to be able to do life in such a real way and to build the connection with our leaders in the team and the students in the dorm and also the other missionaries that were there within World Team, because each of them had a chance to show up and to be able to serve, let alone the three different individuals that were there. We had a chance to work with them, and then also the organization. We saw blessings inside of the family that came out with Charles' family and his wife and siblings that had come. And then also the chance to like share the gospel with the ICU nurses and things as Charles was coming too. He's just got such a servant heart, and he was sharing, and the connections and things from previous things that had happened, that I had some neat interactions and connections with some of the folks that were there. As we would go, we just saw God's hand and leading us and guiding us. And that's one of those things that when we first came with World Team, they were like, all right, you can have a plan and you can know where you're going. That's great. You should do that. You should actually think with the end in mind and how you can plan to get there. But keep an open hand, because when you can have that open hand, God can use you in ways that you will have no idea that they'll be there. Mm-hmm. And we've just seen that blessing happen over and over.
Yeah, and I'd just say through, as difficult as that 6 to 8 weeks were, Charles ended up flying back home in March, the beginning part of March, and has continued to recover in Canada. And it's just been absolute miracle healing that God has done in his life. Like Tom said, he was coming to and was like trying to share the gospel with the nurses, and just being a light of who God is. But also with just through the whole thing, and there's a lot of details in the story of just where you see God showing up. Some things in Cambodia with accidents, ambulances are connected to particular hospitals, so if an ambulance comes, that's the hospital they take you to. It's not just they'll take you to the closest one. And so a local person called the hospital, called an ambulance, which is just not typical either, because you have to pay when the ambulance shows up. And an average Cambodian is not going to be able to afford that. And so, but somebody called, and how we found out that the accident happened, he was by himself. It was just God's blessing and just little miracles along the way. And so the ambulance that came was not a hospital that we would take someone to. And there was somebody there who convinced the ambulance driver to take them to the hospital that we needed him to be at. Because each one of these things, if they hadn't fallen in line as God had intended, would have had a drastically different outcome for Charles and his family. And so we just continued to see miracles along the way. And so while it was an extremely challenging time for us, for our team, for the students, for just the local community, we saw God showing up over and over again to just reaffirm his blessing over Charles's life, over just his plan, and the witness that we were able to have across everybody for him was just unbelievable. And it just shifted our hearts in a different way around how does the body of Christ show up in a crisis in a space like that. And so that was probably the most challenging thing we've had to go through in 10 years. We've had a lot of other crises and health things that have come up, but that was probably the most difficult thing for all of us. So,
absolutely. That was heavy. That was heavy. And so we've been talking about ministry. So how is the ministry in Cambodia going? We've talked about some of the stuff that's been going on, but how's it been going, and what are you excited about? What are the challenges going forward, and how have you seen God working?
Oh, the highlights, yeah. Look at that car.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that.
That's
I've
so
driven
exciting.
In that car.
And the timing was so great, because it was about a year ago, I think I stood up here and I said, we really need a new car. And then when it actually came time to getting the car, we needed it even more than we knew that we needed it. Like, we would accelerate. You had to let the foot off the accelerator, then go back on and go. Because if you didn't, it did a big, hard thud as you were accelerating. Like, you really had to, like, think and plan as you drove. So the opportunity to pick up something new, and I know Bob and Kathy, Bob probably more so, was ecstatic that we had the car before we picked him up at the airport, because he would hear the stories when we would talk each month. He's like, oh, we did this or that, or oh, we hit this or this thing, problem with the car. And he's like, man, you better get that figured out. If you're going to drive me up to Praia Vihia with Visit Joel, which is 300 kilometers away, like, I want to be able to make it there. So
I don't want to walk.
That was one of the blessings of being able to say, all right, well, we did see people show up and kind of give us the support to be able to pick that vehicle up. It's a plug-in hybrid electric, BYD, stands for Build Your Dreams. It's a nice Chinese electric car. So it is a great price, and it was wonderful to be able to pick that up and to get rid of our, what we had, a 2002 CRV. So our car was older than our children.
So that's never good.
But yeah, and then, you know, dovetail that with the timing of the visit when Bob and Kathy came. We had a chance to you know, kind of share our hearts, talk through some of the things that we had been thinking about and some of the exciting things and the challenges that were there too. So we have a handful of people who are like in transition either one way or another, and then other ways to support the workers that are on the field. And I was able to kind of snowball a bunch of different thoughts and ideas, and Bob could challenge me in ways that probably other people wouldn't be able to. So I kind of give him that permission to say, well, what do you think about this? And we kind of go back and forth. And I just saw that connection was really neat to be able to do and to think through and plan and have strategy with the field in general, big picture. You look like you want to jump in.
Last one.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
And then the other big ministry update was in November, we doubled the size of the dorm ministry, which was, again, not a plan that we had. We arrived back in August with the intentions of what I called maintenance mode, because we had had a lot of change each year with either new staff or kind of shifting things around. And we finally had gotten to a place where we thought, we can just do a year of stability and no change for the team. And we were then approached by another ministry that we had known who had a similar vision and heart from a dorm perspective who needed to leave the country. And he was planning on breaking up the students and placing them in multiple different dorms where he could find space. And so we started just praying over it as a team, thinking about how many students we could take. And there was just an overwhelming feeling that we didn't want to break up that group of students, and God just gave us all peace, and we doubled the size of the ministry in one weekend and brought in, I guess, 10 students from that dorm and then 5 new students. So we were up to 28 students in the dorm kind of over a weekend, which took a lot of planning. We had to move some buildings. They were off-site a couple of kilometers away from where we were, so we had to physically move them over and bring 2 different dorm cultures together. So it was just a really cool time. We did house colors. So I think in the one picture you saw, they were all wearing different shirts. Or it's coming up. I don't remember.
That was the previous one.
How do I go backwards? No, that's not there yet. Where's the roll one? There.
Well, here's the photos again if you didn't see them.
All right, we'll get there. Yikes, there it is, that one. We'll get there. But we divided them into houses, different houses and brother-sister houses. Those who like Harry Potter will understand sorting events and all of that. I have not read them, but that was what my team decided they wanted to do. And we had a whole week of competitions and a lot of fun to bring the two dorms together. And so that is most of the students, not all of them, together. And so that is our big ministry highlight from this past year.
Nice.
All right, I'll go backwards.
Yeah, so the dorm doubles in size. And then I think on top of that, I also wanted to move the location of our World Team office. So in the midst of the dorm doubling, I then also moved the World Team office location, which means a bunch of new registrations and a few other things. But we were able to then offer some space to the team that has the dorm so that they didn't have to have the meeting spaces in the same place. So there was some efficiencies that we were like, hey, this would be a really neat time to do this. But it made things a little bit busier, but big picture, much, much better for the ministry as well.
So what's ahead over the next few months and over the next few years?
A little bit more detail on what it is that we do within our ministry. So World Team's philosophy is reach, invest, equip, and release. It's a church planning model where you enter into a location and you can find peacekeepers and build relationships, and you kind of reach where people are. Invest moves into deeply committing to discipleship and working with them one-on-one. And then equip kind of leads into teaching skills for the select few that have natural leadership abilities and the ability to lead ministry, and then releasing them into the work that they do. So we follow that model with inside the dorm ministry. Even though we're not directly planting a church with the students, we're equipping them to be able to do that when they leave and head into ministry. And so for Reach, we have a village outreach that we do each week where there are non-believers and serve the students or the young children that are there. And then our students plan all of that and work that through. So here you see Sreilin. Sreilin in the top right, she was one of our first students in the dorm in 2021. She came in as a non-believer. Her uncle was a believer and said if she was going to go to university in the city, he wanted her in a Christian dorm. And he knew a friend of ours who was a believer and recommended she come into our dorm. So she was the first student to move in. And she has faithfully learned about who God is, but she had a really hard time fully committing herself. She would tell us that she was a certain percentage Christian. So some days she was 40% Christian, some days she was 70. And so over the years, the team just continued to share the gospel with her and search through what were the things that she was not willing to let go of, and what were her fears, and what were the idols that she was holding. And about a little over a year ago, we noticed a huge heart change in her, and just her posture changed, her willingness to ask really deep questions, and the team was like, we think she's given her heart over to the Lord. And they continue to work with her and just make sure that they saw evidence of that. And then she asked to be baptized on her birthday. So that is a picture of her baptism done by Peter this past December. And she now leads our children's outreach, and she's been trained to be a VBS teacher and share children's stories. So she's one of the main teachers now within the ministry as they go out to the village. So it was just a really cool story to see over 4 years of working with her, how she consistently sought after the Lord and the Lord made a heart change, but how our team committed to walking alongside her. Mm. She's the only believer in her family. And that's hard for her, but we've just seen some amazing things. And she'll graduate this coming year, and she's asked if she could stay in the dorm a little longer so she can continue to build her faith and be more rooted before she leaves and kind of feel more isolated at that point. So.
Yeah, and then when I think about reaching is good, but then once you have people and you're able to share the gospel with them, and then what you want to do is you want to invest in them. So we've got the leaders that are within the dorm itself, and then we've also got other opportunities that is just part of doing life. So in that top corner you see is the football team or the soccer team. at Logos School. So I have the opportunity to be able to be a coach with them. So you get a chance to just be who you are and to hang out with your kids and their friends. I mean, it's one of those neat opportunities that, again, you get to set an example, you get to pour into and invest in the lives that the Lord is giving you the chance to do that. So those are the opportunities that, as I think of, you know, the different teammates that are there, the team leaders, just the situations where the Lord puts you. I think it's really important to grow where you're planted and also to have that open hand and the flexibility to see where is God putting you and where is he leading you, but to be bold enough to clearly proclaim the gospel and then also follow it up and say, yeah, I'm willing to step alongside wherever you want to go. I will be right there with you. And to be intentional about it, I think, is really important.
So within the ministry, Invest is kind of the core of what we're doing. We're trying to really deepen each of the students' understanding of who God is. And that happens in a multitude of different ways that are formal Bible studies or one-on-one time, smaller group lessons, prayer. We have all of those structured pieces, but really what is the most transformational is just doing life alongside one another. So they make food together, they carry one another's burdens. The staff spends a lot of time following up with students on how they're doing each day. And when you have 25 of them and a staff of 8, if you include even the foreign missionaries, to meet with every student every week for at least an hour is a commitment. And that's part of what we spend a lot of our time doing and trying to raise up leaders. And so we have some amazing stories and testimonies of some of our students, but my favorite one is really just Sotia. He was in the video in the white shirt sharing about wanting to plant a church in his village. He's from Previhia province. He just has an amazing testimony of how the Lord has worked in his heart, and he's currently in Israel for a one-year internship with his college, and he'll come back in September to have his last year. But we've just seen the Lord work in his heart and provide him with opportunities within his career, but also give him a heart to serve. He leads worship. He went and got himself a guitar in Israel, found one at a donation shop because he just felt like he was isolated and needed a way to worship the Lord. So every Sunday, he will just spend time reading his Bible and singing songs, and he's kind of been a witness to all of the non-believers that are in Israel with him at this internship, and they're like, why do you do that every Sunday? And he's like, because I love Jesus and I want to stay connected to him. And he will teach them how to play music and teach them worship songs. And so they're all learning. And he's just a witness of being able to show the Lord's love in his community, but now also in Israel, and then whatever God has for him when he graduates.
So how do we support you guys? He's got more. We'll keep going. We got more.
So as I think of equipping and releasing, you talk, right? Yeah. So one of the things that Alicia and I had the opportunity to dig in, this is more like world team globally, we've had the up-and-coming leaders where they thought, hey, we want to kind of select a few people and then really try to pour into them deeper. So they call it leader cohort. And there was about 10 to 12 people that they chose, and they're from around the world and serving in various fields in different areas. But these are the people that their local field directors or things had said, we see the leadership potential within these people. And it would be really worth it for us as global leaders to be able to step in and to equip them so that they have the tools necessary to be able to be more effective leaders as you go. So this opportunity for these people, it's over 2 years. We meet in person 4 times. And in that time, it's usually about a 4 to 5 day meeting that we get to do that. And we require the travel, so it's face-to-face. Zoom is great, but you can't replace the face-to-face. That's why we love sitting here in front of you guys. So the chance to be able to really invest in these folks and to not only do that, but to equip them with what they need so that they're ready to be released and then go out and to serve in their various areas. So the Lord has given us different things in our life that we then get a chance to then let that flow right through and then pour into others. And that's within World Team's model of knowing, yes, this is what we want to do because ultimately we want to work ourselves out of a job, right? Release is what we're working towards. So that is all building up to that point. So we've had that opportunity to do that as a couple people that have gone through that training ourselves. We have now become on the other side of it, where we are now training the other people who come behind us. And then in turn, we're hoping that they will continue to do that as well. So that's been a really neat opportunity for us to pour in and even be connected within the Global World Team family and be more connected. And I've seen that fruit play out in the various ministries to say, hey, I know someone else is doing this in this other country. This person is here trying to reinvent the wheel here. And then we can connect those two. And then they're able to effectively minister more effectively. I said effective twice.
So this past cohort that we were part of training, they live on 5 different continents. There are 7 like native languages across the 12 participants. And then within those 12 participants, they minister in an additional 3 different languages on top of that. So there are close to 10 different languages that they're using. So when we were, you know, studying scripture together and you're walking around the room, you just see scripture in multiple different languages. Worship was, we'd take hymns that had been translated into multiple languages and everybody was singing in their native language, which was just a really special opportunity to see the impact of missions more globally. You know, as missionaries and you have your ministry, you have a heart for that thing, and God's put that on your heart and called you to that particular place. And we always talk like, oh, I could never do what the missionaries in France do or the missionaries that are in Cameroon or in a different location. And we, like, even amongst ourselves are like, wow, you guys deal with such different things and it's so much harder for, than what I have to deal with, and you kind of compare. But in reality, we're using similar skills and we're trying to learn how to support each other across the missions. And it was just really an amazing chance to be together and worship the Lord as a community within World Team. And we run these every couple of years. So the next one will be in 2027. So we're looking to revamp the program a little bit. But it's been a blessing for us to be trainers as a part of that, using some of our giftings and our years on, in ministry to be there. And then I spend lots of time with my Cambodian team. So CNET, I've known her since 2019 when she was a college student, and she now works full-time with us and will likely be one of our main leaders who will take over the dorm in the future. That's my goal, is that we can hand that off to her. Her brother is Sotia, and then potentially her sister will come into the dorm next year, and she's in the bottom. And in the top is Lon and Janta and their 3 little boys who join us every day in the ministry. So Eden is 4, Caleb is 2, and Silas is less than a year. Yeah. He's like 7 months old. So we get lots of fun. Our team meetings include little children running around, sometimes just sitting on the floor hanging out. But working with them as first-generation believers, Lon and Janta, and giving them advice on how to raise their children. What does godly ministry look like for them? They love Jesus, and they love to serve. And, you know, just watching their kids, the Caleb, for the longest time, every time he'd come to the dorm, thought he was going to church. And so he'd be like, let's go to the dorm church. Let's go to church. And as a family, they were just spending a lot of time learning what it was like to demonstrate Christian values, and that's part of how we equip them and minister to them, because it's not just a job. We're part of their family, and our staff will hang out with their kids, and we take them places, and so we're always all together. And then we have Bethel, who's not pictured here. He's a young 25, just out of college, and he is engaged, well, will be engaged soon. So just talking even with him, and he's second generation, he's a pastor's kid, but he grew up in the city and wants to do full-time ministry, so kind of working with him on what is God's calling for him, and what does that look like, and how does he start a family, and what does marriage look like, what does a healthy Christian marriage look like? So those are the things that go beyond just the ministry. We minister to the hearts of our team as well.
That's great. No, no, listen, I'm just working this here. So how do we support you going forward?
like I was kind of sharing earlier, I think prayer is the biggest thing that is what we need, and that is what sustains us. So as I think through, we've got, you know, a couple of the things that you can be praying for. The ministries in Cambodia, the students and leaders in the dorm, wisdom and discernment for our roles, and then our boys, Mason and Cameron. Yeah, when I think through that, like I said, that prayer is what sustains us and keeps us there. And we feel that support, like in real, tangible ways. Like, we feel that. So I would definitely encourage that the prayer would continue.
Yeah, I think when we arrive back in Cambodia a couple of days later, we have a new family that's coming to work with our Vietnamese team, and then potentially another single guy who will show up in September. So that's part of our, well, Tom's role is field director, and by default, mine as his wife, to welcome and onboard new teammates. And we have two families with young children that have arrived in the last year, year and a half. So they're working through adjustments to life. So when we talk about overseeing 30 units, we're talking about small children, decisions on education, decisions on places to live, ministry plans. It's full life on life with people. And Tom's been gifted in some amazing ways on how to walk alongside people in that and help them discern what God is doing. But it's taxing. And there's a lot of joy in it when you see God kind of affirm things in individuals' lives and you see that blessing, but it does take a lot of energy. And there's all the ministries that go behind that, right? So you have the individual, but then you have an entire team of Cambodian staff members. You have the people that you're ministering to and needs that are being met. So there's a broad reach that World Team Cambodia has across all the different ministries, including the team in Praya Vihia with Joel. And so we just ask for your prayers and helping us to lead well and to do that humbly. Because we don't have the answers. We don't know the right things. Sometimes our newer teammates get a little frustrated. They're like, what should our ministry be? And we're like, we don't know. And they're like, you're not helping. We're like, well, we got to pray, and God will tell us when he's ready. And then, like we've talked about, being far from our children, particularly as they're getting older, and becoming young adults, it's a different stage of ministry and life as a family. So we're really grateful for how the Lord's provided for both of them, and there's still more transition coming with Cameron heading to the U.S. in a year. So just prayer for God's continued protection and blessing over them, because as much as I think I have control, I don't. That's probably something I've learned over the last 10 years, is that God's in control of things way more than I am, especially when your children are 8,000 miles away.
Is there anything you want to make sure this body believer knows before you head back?
What do we have?
Oh, you, what's that?
He's thinking.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
Because that's a good question, right?
Well, and also another way you can be part of what God's doing, it says to give here, and you should probably tell him about that.
We do need financial support for the dorm and for us personally. That is one of the things that we have to do as missionaries, is we have to say, this is what we need to do. So we felt the support of individuals and from the church itself. But if you're interested, you can come and talk to us in Fraser Hall, not in the foyer.
That's right. Get to Fraser Hall.
And then we can get you connected up if you're desiring to partner with us financially in one way or another.
Yeah, I would say, just to clarify, so we have our personal support that is what we live off of to be there, and that's one account. And then the ministry for the dorm is a separate project account. And right now, about 90% of that operating cost for the dorm is raised by us. Our new teammates are working on communicating that. They're on their first home assignment. Actually, they left Cambodia yesterday for 6 months, and so we're hoping that will start to be more broadly shared. But to operate the dorm for 1 year at the expanded size is about $60,000 to $70,000 a year. Which is something that we have to raise usually each year, because most people will give like one-time gifts. But that is an ongoing need. to meet the students' needs on a daily basis, to pay for the staff, the buildings. Our students don't have to pay to stay at the dorm, so we provide everything for them, including meals and school supports. Sometimes we even help their families. The outreach that we do to the local community and the food that we provide to those families is all part of that project that we do. And so those are the two different ways that you can support us financially. And we always love to have people visit. So if you want to come and hike a waterfall in rainy season or in dry season, or see Phnom Penh and Siem Reap, you're always welcome to come visit either individually or through a short-term team. So those are different ways to be a part of what we're doing. In Fraser Hall, we'll have a sign up for our newsletter. We have a Facebook group. And those are all different ways that you can kind of stay connected with us if you're new to our ministry or knowing who we are. And you can ask us any questions. Nothing is too small of a question or a detail. You can even ask our children. They said no, but you can. yeah. What do you want to share, Les?
No, just thinking about, restate the question.
Well, there's a couple things here. Anything else going forward? Because I missed giving. Okay, we're good. Then is there anything you want this body of believers to know before you head back, before you start your journey here in the States, really, because you're not heading back, but your journey, and because you're not going to have another chance to kind of be here and share. So,
yeah, know. Thank you is the biggest thing that comes to mind. We feel very well blessed and loved by our sending church. We have a number of supporting churches, but only one sending church. So this is always a spot that's near and dear to our heart. So
it's the only place I ever cry. I usually hold it together everywhere else. Bob always manages to make me cry in different ways when I'm up here. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I know.
I'm vulnerable when I'm here.
Yeah, I hear you. I cry too, don't worry about it.
No, but we feel well supported and loved from the church. So thank you, I think, is the biggest thing. Mm. So there's so much to be thankful for.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And I would just say, I mean, we were sitting in those pews a number of years ago with zero intentions of being up here and serving in another country. So one, I would say, just keep an open hand. So what God has for you at any age, whether you're young, middle, veteran, God has something and a purpose for you, so just be open to how you can serve, either where you are or if God's calling you to something different. He does it more than we do. We just have to be obedient, and that's the thing that I've learned. I did not want to move to Cambodia, and usually when people ask me how I end up there, I blame Judy Severance, because she told me that she had been praying for years that we would go to the missions field, and I said God listens to her more than he listened to my no thank you. But it is a blessing, because of that support and because we had a good discipleship, everything that we do in Cambodia was something we learned here at Warrington, and in small groups, in discipleship, in just learning how to read scripture, how to engage with it, prayer, what the body of Christ looks like, how to serve. All of that came from just being involved in our local church and being a part of what was here. When we walked in these doors, we were non-believers. We had had a Christian background. We were raised Catholic. We were engaged. We were trying to figure out what it was going to be like to have a family. And when we walked in these doors, I was like, people talked to me, and that was weird. And I didn't want to come back.
Yeah, you're like, I don't want to go back. I was like, but did you hear that sermon?
I was like, I was too concerned about the fact that people were talking to me. But I'm so glad that we did come back the next week and the week after that. And this just became our home. And then as God called us into missions, it felt scary to leave that security and to walk away from that. And just learning to be dependent on the Lord, to understand the importance of community and discipleship, have just been, I think, my greatest lessons over the last 10 years. And I know God's going to continue to teach me a lot in terms of humility and just continuing to depend on him. But I think that's my advice. Be involved however you can. Find the ways that you can sacrifice of either your time, your financial resources, prayer, involvement. But do those things because God's going to honor that and bless it way more than anything that you're going to do on your own. Nothing that we've shared is anything we've done. All of those things are the ways God has moved in the work, and we just try to keep up with the Holy Spirit and what he has.
I'm going to close with this kind of thought that I'd like to get from you guys, and that is everybody, as they look at people who are doing ministry or serving overseas like you guys are, figure you guys have figured it out, which we certainly know you haven't. I mean, I certainly know you haven't. But every year, God, throughout your life, as you grow in the Lord, God's teaching you something, and he's changing you in some way. And I'd just like you to take a minute and just share with this group here what God has taught you and how he's changed you over this last year. What has he taught you, and how has he changed you? Now, I'm giving these guys time to think because they were not prepped on this one. What has he taught you, and how has he changed you?
So over the, I don't know, it's maybe even been 6 months, 7 months, maybe a year at this point, but I've been praying for patience and grace for myself and for others that I've been surrounded with, and I personally felt myself growing in that. Mm. So when I think back about the various quiet times I have, the just time in the Word, just the sermons that I've been digesting and kind of hearing the Holy Spirit working within me, it's to be quick to give that grace because God has given so much to us. Amen. And if I'm expecting others to come with this or that or the other thing, like, it has to start with patience and grace. And just to be like that long-suffering idea, I think that's something that he's been working within me.
Amen.
I think for me, this last year has been a lot around humility. And there's a lot of things that I think I would hold on to from a pride perspective. Like we said, kind of not from a ministry perspective. I've always been really, like, if God shuts the ministry down tomorrow, like, that's in God's control. But particularly with our kids, like I said, I felt like I still could control what happened in their lives. It was something I wasn't quite ready to hand over to the Lord in terms of trusting him with their futures. I tried to, like, line up all of the things. So I think as I've watched God work in their lives, and just recognizing that there's not enough hours in the day to do all of the things that need to feel like they need to get done, which I think is a common thing no matter where you are, whether you're in America or in another country, whether you're affluent or not, whether you're educated or not, like, it's just a, everyone's time is precious. And so my walk in humility has been around, how do I wake up each day and go, Lord, what do you have for me today? Not what is my plan. And I usually have an idea of the things I'd like to get done, but then God will put a bunch of other things in place. And instead of being frustrated by that thing or feeling like it was derailing my expectations, I've been trying to be more humble in this is what God has for me today, and sitting in those things, because some of them can be a real blessing of hearing a testimony from someone or being able to pray for someone, or have someone pray for me that I hadn't expected to walk into a room and share with me. So that is probably where I've been growing the most, is laying down my pride and being more humble in what God has.
Well, God's doing a lot of great work in Cambodia. He really is. He's doing it in the dorm. He's doing it throughout the whole field. And he's making his presence known in so many ways. And we're thankful in the way that God is using you in that process. And we want to continue to support you and encourage you. And I encourage you to join us over at Fraser Hall and spend some time with these guys and just be really blessed and encouraged by what God's doing there. Continue to support them through giving, through signing up for their newsletters, through all kinds of ways you can support them and do all that. And let's continue to just praise God for what he has done and look forward to what he has in the future.
We have a fun, like, 2-minute highlight video of just the last year of the students, more pictures, so less subtitles.
Amen. Let's pray and then let's watch that video, okay? Father, thank you for being here with us now. Thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and I ask that you would continue to bless this family as they continue to serve you. We pray that this university tour that they're going on for Cameron goes well and it gives them clarity and direction as to what their future looks like. And I pray that you would just be with Mason as he serves out in Wisconsin, Lord. And we just pray that as they prepare for a very busy summer, Lord, that you would just guide and lead and bless the Vosters as they seek your face. And we thank you for the privilege we have of being part of what you are doing in and through them. And we ask for your graces as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.